An impressive NASDAQ debut for Mr. Trump's Trump Media and Technology Group. Shares jumped 16% on the first day of trading under the ticker symbol DJT. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 232 points. More details, srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject as we celebrate this Easter season, Resurrection Sunday. Ashamed of the cross. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The centrality of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Do you believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Are you ashamed of sharing that with others? Do you believe that that should be the gospel message from pulpits celebrating Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think so. And yet, the mega church, Elevation Church, the pastor says he is not going to use the words like Calvary, resurrection, or phrases like blood of Jesus to promote Easter services Sunday. What do you think about that? How do you feel? I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for taking my call. I am deeply, deeply offended by any church, any pastor that puts the Easter bunny and Easter eggs in this sacred, holy celebration that we have.
I couldn't have said that any more poignantly and spot on than you did, Lisa. I believe exactly as you do. It is in doing that, it's a symbol of saying we're going to take away the truth of the gospel. Can you imagine having the Easter bunny, the Easter eggs, and that is the primary thing that a child sees in his Sunday school class, with the Easter bunny and the drawings of the Easter eggs and going on an Easter egg hunt? Then why should he grow up thinking that that Easter is a celebration of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus? It is antithetical to the truth of the gospel.
Amen. And to say confusing is the least thing that could happen. They could be absolutely confused. So the truth speaks for itself, and we need to keep speaking the truth and reading the truth book, as you say. And it just proves that they're not reading the truth book.
That's right, absolutely. I can't understand, and I can too if it's a lost heart. And you know, some people might be offended in my statement. If Stephen Furtick believes that he ought not to say anything about Calvary or the resurrection or phrases like the blood of Jesus to promote Easter, there's something wrong. Because if you study the words of the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and following, he says, to those that are perishing, that is those that are lost, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Foolishness. And that word means moronic. It means that somehow, some way, it is a mythological, preposterous statement. And that's what they're saying. And if those, and I say this to every Christian, not just the pastors, to every Christian, if your church is one that makes a big holiday rather than a holy day out of Easter by celebrating an Easter egg hunt and the Easter bunny, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, find a church where the gospel is proclaimed and there's not a shroud of mysticism about the celebration of that holy day called Easter.
Amen. And I'm not surprised that Stephen Furtick is taking that stand, because in 2020, when the whole Black Lives Matter defunding the police happened, I had been following him because a young man that I was mentoring found his preaching and sent it to me. So I had been following him to make sure that I was making sure that I was helping him follow sound doctrine. And as soon as he had an interview with another pastor, he endorsed the defunding of the police, I knew that it was game over for him, because God doesn't tolerate that. And you can see that the Lord's hand just keeps getting further and further and further from being on this young preacher. And so we need to pray for him to repent and get back to the realm of God, to the absolute love of the truth, which is God.
Yes. One of the things, Lisa, that he said in this, and I'll read further in this article, he says, and I've touched on this a couple of times, says, it's an important guiding principle for how to use and develop language for anyone that can be a part of our church. They don't understand this fancy language, he said. I'm not going to say any of these words that make people feel like an outsider. Well, what are you going to preach? If that is the case, if someone is in the congregation, you say, if you don't accept Christ as Savior, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Are you supposed to leave that out also? Are you going to say? Are you going to avoid saying anything about that place called hell? Surely that will be left out of a gospel message or from any preacher or pastor or church or denomination that's afraid you're going to offend somebody, make them feel like an outsider. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is for the insider. That's the one that's the blood-bought Bible say, born again, that we come into worship to be edified, and we go out from worship to evangelize. But yes, a lost person can come and hear the truth of the gospel and get saved. If we're going to leave the truth of the gospel out, where is salvation? Where is evangelism? What's the purpose of the church? So, Lisa, as you can tell, I'm passionately offended by anyone that will take the position that this dear pastor has done. But he's not by himself. He's following in the footsteps of Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, and multitudes of others today that have taken the position that we don't want to offend anybody. Bill Hybels said when he first started his ministry years and years ago up in Illinois, he said he didn't want a bloody religion to be preached, that people didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear anything about the blood, that it was a sacrificial religion, and he didn't want to preach it. So we're finding that just being renewed today in this young pastor that I believe, my personal opinion, I believe he needs to get saved. That's the bottom line.
Amen, amen. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist. When you start compromising the Word of God, you are inviting the spirit of the Antichrist. And so the homosexual, the LGBTQ, stands on every principle that they have. And you're not going to stand on the Bible and call yourself a Christian? It's ludicrous.
Right. Ludicrous. That's putting it mildly, Lisa. We need, as you said a moment ago, we need to pray for them. My prayer is they get saved. My prayer is that everyone that's listening today, that there would be a wonderful, wonderful celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and what he's done on that cruel, callous, cold Roman cross and shedding his rich red royal blood for sinners such as I. Lisa, thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed Easter celebration. Ladies and gentlemen,
that telephone,
Thank you. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the cross? Are you ashamed to celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, based on biblical truth? I believe we need to recognize that is the problem today in society. The Apostle Paul says, Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, that is the saved, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what the Scripture says. That's in 1 Corinthians, by the way, chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. So how do we see the cross? Ladies and gentlemen, how do you see the cross? Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. How do you view the cross? Do you see the cross as simply an emblem of beauty? Do you look at the cross as a necklace to wear? There's nothing. Listen, I'm not condemning wearing a chain around your neck with a cross on it if that's what you want, or a pin to put on your lapel with a cross, or a cross hanging on the wall in your home. But is that all you see? Is it a thing of beauty? Is it a thing of creativity as a jewelry item? Or is it something that should be viewed as a symbol of death? Ladies and gentlemen, how do you see it? Do you view Easter, Resurrection Sunday? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of the sacrifice, the suffering, and the death of the cross on the cross as payment for your sins and for mine? Listen, we'll look at it in just a moment. If there's no death of Christ, if there's no burial and resurrection, and if we don't have our faith and trust in that resurrection, there's no salvation. Listen, you can't be saved. You can't say that you're saved and refuse and reject and spurn the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary over. Gentlemen, I'm sorry for the interruption. It's what you call technology. When you're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we're talking about the false teachers and the fake teachers today in society, I reckon the demons of hell get a little excited. And I say that with computers and technology, I say that with passwords and codes that you have to use them today, that'd be one of the beauties of heaven, that you don't have to worry with that. We're right in the middle of a sentence when all of a sudden our entire system went down, and I'm thankful that you have remained on the air with us. We're talking about today, ashamed of the cross. Are you ashamed of the cross? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul said to the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't consider it foolishness. We look at it as the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to remember briefly that our trust and faith in Christ, our faith and trust in Him, is the only way to have eternal life, everlasting life, is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. In fact, I'm going to look at Luke's Gospel, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23. I want to read two or three verses, a passage for us to understand. Luke 23 verse 40 and following. The Scripture says this. The context, ladies and gentlemen, is where you had Jesus on one cross, a thief on each side of him, one on the left and one on the right, and some disbelieve in the resurrection, some challenge the resurrection, some even want to challenge the day that Jesus Christ went into the grave, and whether he was in there 3 days or three nights. That is insignificant and besides the point as we talk today. In chapter 23 in Luke's Gospel, verse 40, and the other answered, talking about the two thieves, and the other answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, speaking of Jesus, had done nothing amiss." Verse 42, and he said unto him, "Lord," that's the thief speaking to Jesus, "Lord," the word Lord is the word kurios, means owner, master, controller. So here's this dying thief, calls on Jesus for salvation. "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Ladies and gentlemen, the thief on the cross called on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and he believed in the resurrection. He believed it. He said, "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Remember me." So he, that is the dying thief, realized that Jesus Christ would resurrect, that he would be resurrected. The grave, ladies and gentlemen, is not the end. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, death is simply the doorway to eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ arose, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, he is the first fruits from the dead. That first fruits indicates there are other fruit, and therefore with the other fruit, it gives us the assurance, the guarantee, that if we know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we will rise again. Death is not the end. The belief in the resurrection, listen, ladies and gentlemen, belief in the resurrection is required for salvation. Listen to what the Scripture says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess, that word confess is the word homologeo, it means to say the same thing God saying, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and shall believe, pisteuo, putting your faith and trust in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is impossible without the belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is that of believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for your sins and for mine, and we place our faith and trust in him. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi.
Hello, go ahead with your question.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, it's a privilege to be able to speak with you today. I was listening as you spoke about the Elevation Church and their invitations, and, you know, I was horrified. So I started looking it up online while I was listening, and it doesn't, I've never heard him preach that I know of, and I totally plan to listen to his message, his Easter message, to see if he actually does preach the cross of Christ in a sermon. But it sounded like he wasn't going to, which is different than just the invitations not saying certain things. I'm not sure that I've ever seen or received an invitation for a church service that does say the blood of Jesus or Calvary. I can certainly see a resurrection celebration ad, and I don't understand why they wouldn't have that on there. But, you know, if the pastor isn't going to preach the cross of Christ, then that is totally offensive, and I don't understand that. But,
well, Lisa, I'm in agreement with you, and I can't get a grasp on, a handle on, why you would be a pastor, preacher, teacher of the word, and then say, as he has said in the article that I'm reading, I'm not going to say the word resurrection, not going to say the word blood of Jesus, right? I'm not going to say any of these words that will make people feel like an outsider. The Apostle Paul didn't know anything about that.
You're right. And did he say that he wasn't going to say that in a sermon, or was that just regarding the invitation?
No, he's talking about inviting people to come to worship. He's certainly not going to, because people that come on Easter, largely he claims is from the outside, i.e. lost, he doesn't want to offend them, so therefore he's going to water it down so that he does not offend the outsiders. So my prayer is, Lisa, that he will change his mind, change his direction, change his tune, and that God will change his heart, because the core of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, the very core, the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And
absolutely,
without that, where's the gospel? There's no gospel in it. It is viewed, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and following, it is viewed as foolishness. And that Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If we're ashamed of the gospel, we're going to leave those things out because we don't want to offend anybody. And we have several others in the past 20, 30 years that have taken that same position. And so what are you going to do? Wow them with some kind of program? Easter bunnies and Easter eggs, et cetera, et cetera, as one of our callers said? I pray that that'll not be the case. Lisa, just keep praying. Keep looking up. The scripture is not incorrect. The scripture does not need modification. The scripture does not need any bifurcation. It stands as God has given it to us, and we need not to be ashamed of it. Thank
absolutely
you so much,
right.
And I pray that you'll have a holy Easter celebration. God bless you. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, this is an important message. I would hope that a lot of believers, hopefully pastors, preachers, teachers, are listening today. My view on this story, and I'm just reading a relevantmagazine.com, it's an online magazine, indicates that Nikki Shearer, Elevation Church's digital content creator, recently spoke with Pro Church Tools about the way the church uses social media to draw and engage with new and familiar audiences. And I'm concerned that, we're going to politically correct. We're going after the itching ears. We want to tickle the ears so as to entice, and I think that enticement is leaving off both the warning as well as the core, the foundation of our salvation. And you go to paragraph 3 in this article. Folks, go online, just take a look at this. This person's quoted as saying, when I think about how I'm going to talk about Easter, I'm thinking about how I'm going to talk to people far from God, because that's the thing that matters most. For us, the most important thing on Easter is inviting people to church. I'm just going to stop it right there. That is not the most important thing. I mean, it's great to invite folks to church, but the Great Commission is not go and invite. The Great Commission is go and tell and to make disciples. And how do you make a disciple out of somebody when you don't give them the foundation of the faith? I don't get that. I mean, it's like saying, hey, we're gonna teach general math, but we're not going to teach addition and subtraction. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And that itching ears verse, 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. If you're talking about Easter and the blood, the cross, resurrection are not the core of your message, you've got a message that's fable. It's not rooted in, not founded in the truth.
That's exactly right. In fact, Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg is up in the southern tip of heaven, that is northeast Tennessee. I believe you're getting some rain up there, aren't you, Greg?
Oh, my goodness, it's a beautiful day today. Don't you even be talking about rain. We've had some rain, but I'll tell you, it is absolutely phenomenal. Spring has sprung, and it is beautiful in East Tennessee.
Well, I'm thankful to hear that. Greg, let me take a few moments that we have left. And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, which is the classic text about the resurrection, if Jesus had not been crucified, if he had not died on the cross, if he had not shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and mine, if he had not been buried and rose again, the Bible says the following: our preaching is in vain. The word vain means empty, useless, void, vacuous. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the grave, our faith is in vain. That's empty, void, vacuous. Chapter 15, verse 14, 1 Corinthians. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the grave, we're false witnesses, 1 Corinthians 15:15 says. We're lost still in our sins. No forgiveness, 1 Corinthians 15:16-18. We are of all people, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, most miserable and hopeless. So the Bible says, but now, in that same unit of thought, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So we celebrate a risen Savior. We celebrate the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death on the cross. We celebrate his being God incarnate, God come into flesh, that gave himself that we might live. So, Greg, in view of what we said about those that disbelieve and are afraid they're going to offend somebody, and yet the truth of the gospel, in the last couple of minutes we have, share with our listeners your thoughts and what we should believe and do.
Well, it is said that in that first century that the Sadducees were resurrection deniers, and being resurrection deniers, they were sad, you see. These folks that deny the resurrection today, and that's been the lie of Satan from the get-go. He wanted to spread the story that Jesus's body had just been stolen away, but mm-hmm. those disciples carried with them to their horrific death. 11 of 12 died horrific deaths. They carried with them to that their dying breath the fact that, yes, Jesus rose from the grave. And I'll tell you, if you have a doubt today, you need to check up, see whether or not you be in the faith. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks, it is the foundation of our faith. If you yes. can step away from that, folks, you have abandoned the core of our faith. And for those that want to abandon any part of Scripture, you need to realize in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Right now, today, on the air, you've given some doctrine, some reproof, some correction, and some
yes.
instruction in righteousness. That's
yes.
what this is all about. But go into Sunday victorious as a believer, recognizing that Jesus paid the price and he is arisen today.
Amen. Greg, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on there today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again we face the issues.